For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. So for some of us, we're in the second week of our spring practice commitment period. And we're focusing on or starting from teachings by Hongzhi. And Hongzhi's teachings include various themes. Today I want to talk about the Buddha work. One of the themes later on will also be play and playfulness, which is not separate from the Buddha work. But I'll just start by reading a passage from Hongzhi, Cultivating the Empty Field. The empty field cannot be cultivated or proven. From the beginning, it is altogether complete, undefiled, and clear, down to the bottom. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Good. Where everything is correct and totally sufficient, attain the pure eye that illuminates thoroughly, fulfilling liberation. Awakening involves enacting this. Stability develops from practicing it. Birth and death originally have no root or stem, appearing and disappearing, originally have no defining signs or traces. The primal light, empty and effective, illumines the head top. The primal wisdom, silent but also glorious, responds to conditions. When you reach the truth without middle or edge, cutting off before and after, then you realize one wholeness. Everywhere, sense faculties and objects both just happen. The one who sticks out his broad, long tongue, that's an image of the Buddha teaching, transmits the inexhaustible lamp, radiates the great light, and performs the great Buddha work. From the first, not borrowing from others, one atom from outside the garment, from outside reality. Clearly this affair occurs within your own house. So this Buddha work I'm going to talk about this morning, it's what we're all doing here on our cushions and in our lives. So we talked about this as the terms of the punch, where we realize the one wholeness. So the Buddha work first includes realizing wholeness, realizing this primal light, this primal energy. This involves the our Zazen practice and all our other practice, turning the light within. Examining this deep source that I talked about last week, transparent down to the bottom. So this is our Buddha work. Just investigating what is the Buddha work, just investigating what is this wholeness that we can glimpse or taste in our Zazen practice. He also says, he also talks about this as responding. So the Buddha work, you know, Dogen says in the Hikoroku that this Buddha work starts from caring for beings, from relieving the suffering of all beings, and from taking care of this practice, this teaching, and sharing this awakening with all beings, with others in our lives, in the world. So part of the Buddha work is responding. So it's turning within, investigating this illumination, but it's also responsive. How do we respond to the world? How do we share this awareness, this awakening with beings and help relieve suffering? This is the work of all Buddhist ancestors. This is the work of Bodhisattvas. So our practice is not just to find some inner space for ourselves. It's not some self-help tool. It's about all beings. This Buddha work includes everything and everyone. And it also very much includes all times. We'll talk, one of the themes in Moksha's teaching of the ancestors, we'll talk about that. But it's also caring about how we take care of beings of the future. So there's a lot to do in this Buddha work. But also, in some ways, this Buddha work is just you expressing yourself. How do we find our deepest truth? How do we share it with all beings? So Hongzhou was very important in to Dogen, founder of Soto Zen in Japan. A century later, Hongzhou was the most important teacher in this lineage a century before, and very prolific on his teaching. But I want to also share Dogen talking about the Buddha work, one of the places he talks about the Buddha work, and this is in the self-fulfilling samadhi, which I've talked about a lot. this teaching, this writing by Dogen, has very long sentences. I'm going to read two of them. Each of them touches on this Buddha work. So this is something that goes way back to Shakyamuni Buddha and the work he did, and the Buddhas before Buddha, and then also through our lineage in China and Japan. And here we are in Chicago, although there are people online from Michigan and New Mexico and Canada and maybe Indiana and anyway. So Dogen later said, there is a path through which the unsurpassed complete awakening of all things returns to the person in Zazen, and whereby that person and the awakening of all things intimately and imperceptibly assist each other. I'm sorry, that's the introduction. That's the third sentence of the meeting. The first of the three sentences. Therefore, the Zazen person without fail drops off body and mind, cuts away previous tainted views and thoughts, awakens genuine Buddha Dharma, and universally helps the Buddha work in each place, as numerous as atoms, where Buddhas teach and practice, and widely influences practitioners who are going beyond Buddha, vigorously exalting the Dharma that goes beyond Buddha. That's a phrase for the Buddha work that Dogen uses often. He uses that phrase much more than he uses, for example, just sitting. Buddha going beyond Buddha is that already Buddha is on your seat now, wherever you are. And also, Buddha continues to awaken. Shakyamuni Buddha didn't stop practicing when he had his great awakening. He did the Dogen. We continue this practice. So part of the Buddha work is just continuing. Just continuing. So in our tradition, awakening is not a matter of having some special great experience. It's about just continuing. Taking care of the Buddha work ongoingly. And then Dogen continues, at this time, because earth, grasses and trees, fences and walls, tiles and pebbles, all things in the phenomenal realm, in all directions, carry out Buddha work, because they all carry out Buddha work. Therefore, everyone receives the benefit caused by this functioning, and all are imperceptibly helped by the wondrous and incomprehensible influence of Buddha to actualize the awakening at hand. So this is Dogen following up Bongzhe a century later, talking about the Buddha work. So all of you were here in our center, think it's there, and all of you are here on Zoom, online, are already partaking at the Buddha work. How do we take care of this Buddha work? How do we share whatever glimpses or glimmers or experiences we have of the deep source of this wondrous wholeness that is also, that is part of, that is our life. So the Buddha work is simply to take care of this, to share it, to make sure it's not cut off, to continue. So we have this lineage of ancestors from Shakyamuni Buddha, to Bodhidharma, to the sixth ancestor, to Dongshan, who's considered the formal founder of this lineage in China, to Hongshan, the century before Dogen, to Suzuki Roshi, to us. And, you know, throughout that history, there were times when the Buddha work became kind of thin, the lineage became kind of thin. Yaoshan, Yaoshan in Japanese, had 8 students. We have here in this room today 11, and there's, I think, more than that, a dozen or so online. And all of us, just by being here, just by sitting zazen, just by trying to take care of our lives in a way that honors wholeness, that honors this illumination, that celebrates this awakening. We are doing the Buddha work. This is no small thing. And how we do it, you know, it's not nose to the grindstone every minute, every day. It's also, as we'll talk about more, as Ongsha will talk about playfulness. It's also about accepting our Dharma position, accepting our function, realizing our karma, the causes and conditions for everything that is on your seat right now. So this Buddha work is there's many aspects. Again, part of it is just settling into this deep wholeness of awakening, sharing it, expressing it. And this work expresses itself in our lives. We don't have to do something special. It's in. But as we continue with this practice, it becomes how he is. It expresses itself in our lives without our, you know, having to figure out how to do it or anything like that. Just by being yourself and expressing kindness and caring and wholeness. You are doing a good work. Enjoying water as life is the good work. How do we take care of water and air and ground, earth? And of course, we know that we are living in difficult times this year, this world. Many difficulties, wars and cruelty and so forth. And maybe there's always been that, but it feels more urgent these days. So the Buddha work is about how do we take care of our world in this situation. And I think those who've done the Buddha work throughout the ages maybe have always felt like this is a terrible time. Not always. There have been times of peace. Anyway, this Buddha work is important. And there's no formula for how to do it and how to take care of the difficulties and troubles in our world. And yet, by doing the Buddha work, we make a difference. We share some awareness. We share our awakening, each of us. We can share kindness and compassion. And this is not a matter of some special experience, although those things happen. It's not a matter of some particular refined understanding, although that is possible. But it's about how do we each take care of ourselves and those around us. And keep this going. So this is, Buddha work is also about Sangha. How we take care of our formal Buddhist communities, but also the communities beyond us. Since we're not doing residential monastic practice, here we are. Each one of us, each person in this room, each box on the Zoom window is connected to many communities. So how do we take care of the way in which we support awareness and kindness in the world around us? Friends, family, neighbors, fellow workers. All of that is the Buddha work. How do we enjoy the bird's song? How do we appreciate the airplanes flying overhead so we'll hear? So again, Hongshu says, one who shares this great Buddha work transmits the inexhaustible lamp, this deep radiance, radiates the great light and performs the great Buddha work. From the first, not borrowing from others, one atom from outside the Dharma. The Buddha work is not something we can read about in books. I mean, yeah, this book we're using to recall Hongzhi's teachings, Dogen's teachings. But it's also about just sitting upright, finding our own way to be upright, finding our own way to carry that into our everyday activities. It's not something that we have to deliberate about and figure out. It's something deeper than that. I hear a dog barking. This is kind of an animal thing. All of us as two-legged animals are exploring in our life how the Buddha work works, finding our way of sharing this. So again, this is one of the themes that to talk about during this practice period of celebrating Hongzhe and our practice lineage. And all of this is kind of unfolded in this Zazen practice we do, sitting upright, being present, facing the wall, facing ourselves, settling, calming, seeing all the stuff that comes up, because we do have ancient twisted karma, habits of grasping, habits of pushing away. How do we just find great patience, great dynamic, active patience of the Buddha world to pay attention to everything? And then just let it be in our everyday activity. So again, we should also enjoy the Buddha work. It's something that has somehow each of us here in this room in Lincoln Square, each of you on the Zoom, are sharing this, are exploring this, expressing this. So Buddha work is just to express the Buddha work. And how we do that, you know, it's different, a little different for each person. I cannot tell any of you how to be Buddha. This is something that comes from within, as Hongzhe says. And yet we are all doing it together. So, I can go on babbling up here about the Buddha work, but I'm interested in hearing your comments, questions, reflections, responses, expressions of the Buddha work. So, please, feel free. Well, we'll help me see people online. Do the raised hand function. And people in the room can visibly raise your hands. Anyway, comments, questions, please feel free. This expressing about the Buddha work is the Buddha work.
Could you say a little more about what is meant by work?
Work is...
In the Buddha work?
Yeah, the Buddha work is all the workings of our body-mind.
So functioning.
It's functioning. It's something that, you know, sometimes we need to work at, sometimes we need to play with. It's our functioning and expression, yeah. And it's also, there are particular functions that are about the Buddha work, not letting it be cut off, continuing this tradition, is very much the Buddha work, taking care of it.
How does effort go into that?
Effort is, we have to, sometimes we get tired or we get distracted and we have to bring ourselves back to, okay. And sometimes it takes a lot of effort. Sometimes to take care of each other and things in the world, we have to bring forth our energy and effort. But it's also the joy of Buddhas is to do the Buddha work. So it's not, it varies. At different times it may feel strenuous and challenging. Certainly to find ways to respond to the wars and cruelty in our society now, it takes some effort. It's easy to turn away. But the Buddha work is not turning away. The Buddha work is to not try to avoid the Buddha work. It's not to try to escape, to run away from ourselves. But it's also a great play of bodhisattvas, great things of bodhisattvas. So sometimes the Buddha work is difficult and strenuous. Sometimes the Buddha work is great joy. We have to continue.
Dennis has his hand raised.
Dennis, hello.
Thank you very much. Could you comment on the writing seemed to indicate that the imperceptible nature of results. You know, being American, I'm results oriented. I associate work with accomplishing something. And could you talk about that aspect of doing it even without knowing, you know, what's, you know, or just dealing with that whole issue of being result oriented. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, there are results. There are effects of our doing the Buddha work, and for each of us doing the Buddha work. But we don't know the outcome. The Buddha work is also planting seeds of kindness, awareness, of caring, and we don't know the results. And that's okay, but we can know that everything we do, all causes, have some effect. And all effects are further causes, or further effects. So it's like, our efforts are like a pebble in a pond and the ripples spread out. And we don't need to know the outcome or the results. Sometimes we do. Sometimes I've heard from people who I was practicing with many years ago and somehow they remember something I said. That's possible. But most of the time we're just sharing this awareness, this concentration, this caring. And if we get attached to finding out the results of our Buddha work, that's a little funny. Then we're just, that can become like a business transaction. Okay, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to get such and such. We don't need to know the results. Somehow Buddha awakened, and he didn't want to talk at first. He didn't want to teach. He spent some stories say 49 days just in deep meditation, expressing the Flower and the Sutra. Finally, he was persuaded that he should go and share this with people. So Hongzhi, you know, couldn't imagine that, I don't know, maybe he could see into the future, but I can't imagine that he, in the 1100s, could have imagined somebody sharing his teaching in 2100. It's kind of funny. And it's okay. And, you know, there are, along with all the great teachers in our lineage and all the great ancestors, culturally, spiritually, societally, and so forth, artistically, you know, I mean, Van Gogh, who's, you know, wonderful, my favorite artist, died thinking that nobody would know what his work was. So, I think Nicholas was first, then me. Nicholas?
Good morning.
Hi, Nicholas.
As I think about the Buddha work, for me, it seems connected with the Eightfold Path, particularly right effort, right concentration. You know, I have to create the sort of conditions or fertile ground for, you know, me to even feel like I have any idea what the Buddha work is. But also the Brahma Vihara practices seem very related to cultivating those conditions, you know, concentration, compassion, you know, the practices of compassion for myself, compassion for the world, the empathetic joy, peace, being happy for other people, and basically just cultivating equanimity within my own mind, and also the middle path. Excuse me, the middle path seems to me to be a big part of the Buddha way. So, you know, I'm Hogetsu's question kind of made me think of that. And I think there, for me, there is quite a bit of effort involved in this. I don't know what to call it, a concept of the Buddha way, a state, a visceral experience of the Buddha way. You know, it's hard to speak about it because we only have concepts to talk about or use to describe something that's ineffable.
Right. So I want to go back to something you said in the beginning, that you have difficulty knowing how to do the Buddha work. And it's not a matter of knowing. I mean, it's okay if you do, but it's a matter of just doing it and being.
Yes, I agree.
All of those teachings that you mentioned that can be great helps to us, you know, the point in our tradition of studying Dharma, the point of studying Hongzhi Dogen and the Eightfold Path and the Brahma Viharas is not to acquire some knowledge, but to support us to practice.
Exactly.
So, and we don't know how to do that. I mean, there's no, so all of those, you know, the Eightfold Path, we could take as a kind of instruction manual, but how that applies in our life, in our time, in our culture, you know, we have to find out from the ground up. So,
yes. Yeah, well, I think they're you know, those are seeds that we plant in the ground, right? Exactly. And then they grow, and we don't know what we've planted or how they're going to grow.
Exactly. So the Buddha work is a matter of planting seeds and nurturing seeds when we can. And also sometimes appreciating the great flowers and trees that result, but we don't always know. So thank you, Nicholas. Eve is here in the room, and then Chris and Bryant. Eve.
I really appreciated when you said I can't tell you how to do the Buddha work, and I appreciate the things you said about letting go of results, and I feel like, you know, letting go of control. But then, like, what happens, like, you think the way to do the Buddha work is to align with somebody else and, you know, people doing things in the world, and you want to align with them. And then some of my questions about something else you said. So sometimes, like, what happens is then you run into people who want to control you, and or they think they can control, like, everything. And then you feel like you've been running over by a truck. And so then I want to know about the taking care of yourself part.
Yeah, Buddha work includes taking care of yourself. Definitely. It's important because we each can't do the Buddha work if we're, you know, when we're run over by a truck. But that happens, you know. People get run over by trucks, or people fall down waterfalls, or whatever. We take care of ourselves as well as we can. That's maybe first in the Buddha work. But then how do we share all of this? This is, in some ways, it's playfulness, as I said before, but it's also, it requires attention. It requires paying attention to, you know, so patience is not a passive practice. Just, sometimes we don't know what to do, description of Eightfold Paths and Brahma Viharas can help us. Sometimes they do. But paying attention to what's going on in front of us, that's insider wisdom. And then sometimes we can see something to do that is a helpful expression of the Buddha work. Sometimes just sitting and doing nothing, supposedly, but paying attention is the Buddha work.
And it isn't necessarily doing what somebody else tells you to
do. Right. Sometimes it is. So be careful with teachers. Pay attention to how they... So teachers are guides, spiritual friends who can help you. And sometimes they miss the mark. So you have to trust yourself, too. So thank you for that. We have Chris and Bryant online. Chris.
Thank you, Taigen. Good morning. Question I have is, in our attempts to do the Buddha work, we inadvertently injure other beings. How do we deal with that?
Yeah. Yes, of course that happens. So maybe only a Buddha knows perfectly how to enact the Buddha work so as to always be helpful and never hurt anything or anyone. We make mistakes. Part of the Buddha work is making mistakes. Hopefully we make right mistakes, not harmful mistakes. And hopefully we learn from our mistakes. So this is a dynamic practice. There's not, you know, with all the great descriptions of teachings, Hongzhe's teachings, the self-fulfillment samadhi from Dogen, the Eightfold Path is wonderful. The paramitas, you know, we have guidance in our house wind, in our family lineage. So another theme we'll talk about during the practice period that Hongzhe talks about is the family business. So we take care of the family business. And it's not about being perfect. We have to be willing to try to help. And as Chris said, sometimes we make mistakes. And so it's the Buddha work is fundamentally a matter of continuing to pay attention and to see when we do see some results. And sometimes what we think is a mistake is actually very helpful. And there's a long joke I can tell about that I won't. So we don't. Some things that look like mistakes can turn out to be very helpful. And so the most important point of the Buddha work, I could say that about many things, but is to keep paying attention and gently, paying attention to yourself. And how does it feel? So I've recommended that as a mantra, a koan. I used to a lot. How does it feel? Just to be this person. Pay attention to them. So thank you, Chris. Maybe we have time for one or maybe two more. Bryant?
Thank you, Tigan. Maybe I think of Buddha work in maybe two basic ways. One is the work we do trying to recognize our Buddha nature, which is part of what happens on the cushion and elsewhere. But then outwardly, once we have recognized and maybe learned how to abide within that nature, that nature expresses itself spontaneously. Once we, I guess what I, to recognize our Buddha nature, part of the work in that direction is the letting go of and cutting through of our conditioning, our karmic conditioning, to drop the self, as it were, our conditioned self. And once we have, as Dogen says, we are practicing enlightenment, but that enlightenment doesn't just stay only on the cushion. You know, if we're abiding in that in that awakened mind, that awakened mind is universally responsive. The other aspect I wanted to mention about Buddha work, I'm currently rereading the Tenzo Kyukun, Instructions for the Cook by Dogen. And it's a great metaphor, I think, because he talks about, you know, if you do the kitchen work with awareness and attention, you're helping all the sentient beings through that work. And through extension, anything that we do, going to the store, fixing our car, doing our job, if we do it with awareness and attention and without self-grasping orientation, in a way, Indra's net-like, When our own jewel is shining, we help to illuminate the other jewels in the net. You know, if our jewel drops out of the net, so to speak, the machinery would grind to a halt. So every one of us, everything we do is a part of the functioning of everyone else. So doing your own job, whatever that is in the moment, if it's feeding your cat or whatever, is vitally important for the interconnection of all. So that's kind of a couple of things I thought.
Well, you said a lot there, but yes, so taking care of our own Dharma position, our own situation, taking care of yourself is certainly part of it. And then, as you say, there's the turning within to explore how this wondrous source, this wholeness, is, and part of the Buddha work is to continually deepen our communion with that, and allow it to deepen its communion with us. I want to somewhat disagree with something you said, though. You were talking about conditioning, and we all have karmic conditioning, causes and conditions, and habit patterns and so forth. And sometimes we let go of some of that. But I believe that often some parts of that are very deep, and maybe, you know, we'll let go of it in the next lifetime. I don't know. But the point is to expunge our karma, to not be caught by it. And that's a big difference. If we think we have to eliminate all of our ego and so forth, we should take care of our ego and not let it be, and try and make it not harmful. So when we see our own stuff, which I think was a technical term, when we get rid of our habits and patterns of greed and grasping, and patterns of aversion, and which can become hatred and all of that, how do we become intimate with it? So part of the Buddha work is practicing with that, becoming intimate with that, seeing our own patterns, and when they come up again, not reacting, not acting on them. And that takes a long time to wear that down, so that we see them and we can respond from a place that's more settled and centered. So that was the one part of what you said, Brian, that I wanted to quibble with. But it's lifelong learning, whatever. It's, this is something, this is Buddha going beyond Buddha, as Dogen says. And taking care of turning within and seeing the radiance and the wholeness, as Homer just says, and deepening our connection to that. Because that then expresses itself in our response to the situations of our life and the world. And the Buddha work is about that too. So thank you all for your comments. I guess we have time for if there's one more comment or reflection. Question? Yes. Hi.
I just wanted to share that a couple days ago when my alarm went off and I set the timer for Zazen, it turned out that I really was supposed to sleep. So when the second bell rang, I woke up and I felt grateful that that I could just let myself sleep without having an expectation of what Zazen was supposed to look like that morning.
Yes. Amen. Yes. The Buddha work includes sleeping. It's not being like at military attention all the time. It's taking care of ourselves and resting when we need to. And Dogen has an essay in Shobo Genzo that I'm thinking of doing a seminar on here next fall called Expressing the Dream Within the Dream. There are various spiritual traditions of spiritual dreaming, to call it one thing, about how we use the consciousness during sleep. How do we sit zazen while we're sleeping? So yes, thank you for that. Yeah, very important. Taking care of ourselves, taking care of all beings, includes getting enough rest. So I think we will rest from this wonderful discussion. Please continue your practice of doing the Buddha work. And we'll close with the four Bodhisattva vows, and then we'll have announcements. And then for the people here, there will be work period with temple cleaning and Tien Trees.
Beings are numberless, we vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible, we vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless, we vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, we vow to realize it. Beings are numberless, we vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible, we vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless, we vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, we vow to realize it. Beings are numberless, we vow to moons are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable.